Hi, this is Bill Woods, and I want to apologize for not having a podcast out last week in case you missed it. I had somehow or other got messed up. I was in the hospital down in Chandler last week, and I'd been in an automobile accident. My leg that I broke in December when I hit the front of a semi, and it re-broke everything, and so I just was not able to make the podcast last week, and it's not my style. I'd almost have to be in the hospital not to make my podcast. One of the things I do know is that even though I was there and the car was totaled and my leg was rebroken and actually had to have surgery because one leg was 3 inches shorter than the other at that time, one of the things I know is I had the assurance that if I knocked on the doors of heaven like that, I would be let in. What a tremendous assurance that is to know that even things happen so quickly, but if you're ready, you know that you're going to meet your Savior and you're going to find heaven an open door for you. And I want you to know that was wonderful. I want to talk about when the windows of heaven open. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, the New Living Translation says, "Then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven, and the same voice I had heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast. The voice said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must happen after this.'" You know, Christians today don't talk much about heaven. I remember when I was a little kid that all the saints and everything talked about heaven a lot, you know, because that was a very real thing for them. I don't understand it, why it isn't emphasized more in churches and among Christians today. After all, heaven is going to be our eternal home if we know Christ is our personal Savior. Jesus said in John 14, 1 through 3, "Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am." Can you imagine how wonderful heaven will be? The world is beautiful. I mean, you know, we've got all these very scenic parks and things, the Grand Canyon. People talk about the beautiful mountains and the forests and the waterfalls. But it only took God 6 days to create all those things. Jesus has been preparing heaven for over 2,000 years. And I can't imagine what it's going to be like because the Bible says I couldn't. I don't want to miss it. The problem is that we have become so attached to this world, we forget it's not our final home. We're just too comfortable. We need to be reminded about heaven and how wonderful it must be. When I was little, I used to hear a lot about heaven among the old saints and how they planned to get there and meet Jesus and meet their loved ones and throw their crowns before the throne of God. And it just all sounded wonderful. In fact, my grandma made sure that I knew that there was going to be a heaven, and she would tell me, "You know, when I die, don't cry for me because I'll be with Jesus Christ." And I'll tell you what, Billy, she used to tell me, I want to meet you one of these days in heaven. Grandma and I have a date. And she has always said that she would go check at the Eastern Gate so I'd be able to find her where she could find me when I got there. My granddad always said that he was going to spend the first 10,000 years running up and down the golden streets of heaven, just rejoicing that he finally got there. You know, a guy arrives at the pearly gates waiting to be admitted. I read this story. It says St. Peter is reading through the big book of life to see if the guy's name is written in it. After several minutes, Peter closes the book, furrows his brow, and says, "I'm sorry, I don't see your name written in the book." "Well, how current is your copy?" the man asks. "Well, I get a download every 10 minutes, Peter replies. "Why do you ask?" "Well, I'm embarrassed to say so, but I was always the stubborn type. It wasn't until my death was imminent that I cried out to God, so my name probably hasn't arrived in your copy yet." "Well, I'm glad to hear that," Peter said. But while we're waiting for the update to come through, can you tell me about what really good deed that you ever did while you were in life? Well, he said, the guy thinks for a moment and says, well, there was this one time when I was driving down a road and I saw a giant group of biker gangs, like the Hell's Angels maybe. Members of this gang were harassing this poor girl and she was hysterical. I slowed down and sure enough, there they were, about 20 of them torturing this poor young lady. Infuriated, I got out of my car, grabbed a tire iron out of my trunk and walked up to the leader of the gang. He was a huge guy, 6'4", 260 pounds, with a studded leather jacket and a chain running from his nose to his ears. As I walked up to the leader, and the bikers formed a circle around me, and they told me to get lost or I'd be next. So I ripped the leader's chain out of his face and smashed him over the head with the tire iron. Then I turned around and yelled at the rest of them, "Leave this poor innocent girl alone. You're all a bunch of sick, deranged animals. Go home before I really teach you a lesson in pain." Well, Peter, duly impressed, said, "Wow, what happened then? And when did this happen?" He said, "It was about 3 minutes ago. A lady died, you know, about 3 minutes ago, and I repented on the way up, I guess. A lady died and entered heaven's pearly gates. The lady said, 'Where am I? Am I where I think I am? Is this heaven? Did I really make it to heaven?' Peter said, 'Yes, ma'am, you did. This is heaven.' The lady said, 'What do I have to do to get in?' Well, you and I know that in order to get in, we'd have to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We've had to confess our sins to Him. But in this story, Peter said, 'Well, ma'am, all you have to do is spell a word.' 'Lady, what word?' 'Peter, it doesn't really matter, ma'am. You pick the word.' And the lady, in this case, she said, 'I guess it would be appropriate that I spell the word love, L-O-V-E. Peter said, 'Very good, ma'am. You may enter. Would be so kind as to do me a favor,' he asked. 'Would you be so kind?' The lady said, 'What would that be?' Peter said, 'Would you sit in my chair and watch the gates while I take my break?' And the lady said, 'Why, yes, I can do that.' A few minutes later, the lady saw a man walking up the path towards the pearly gates. She determined as he approached closer, it was her husband of some 40 years. 'Lady, why, Harvey, what are you doing here?' Harvey said, 'Well, Gladys, when I left your funeral, I was so distraught, not knowing what I'd ever do without you, that I was beside myself and wasn't paying attention to my driving. I ran head-on into a coming truck, and here I am to spend the rest of eternity with you. What do I have to do to get in?'" Again, this is just a story. We know it's repentance, accepting Christ as your Savior. But the lady said, "It's simple, Harvey. Just spell a word." Harvey said, "What word?" And the lady said, "Czechoslovakia." Well, like everything that's precious to Christians, heaven has had to run the gauntlet of human opinion and has been subject to severe skepticism and various agnostic maltreatment. You know, people say, "Well, pie in the sky by and by," and you know, it's just a crutch for superstitious people who can't make it here. And they have all kinds of other things to say. Well, there is no heaven. It doesn't matter what the skeptics say. Heaven is totally unaffected by the very worst that man or Satan can do. Let me tell you this, heaven is real. We can't even imagine how wonderful it's going to be for us. 1 Corinthians 2:9, that is what Scripture means when they say, No eye hath ever seen, nor ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him." It's going to be so wonderful to know that I'm in heaven and you're in heaven, and we've closed the doors on all the things that have happened here on earth, and we're going to be with the Lord and with our loved ones for all eternity. You know, we get some glimpses of Scripture verifying that heaven is real. 1, heaven opened to receive the Savior. In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, this was just before the day of Pentecost, and Jesus had died and been resurrected, and Jesus was meeting with people out on the Mount of Olives. There's about 500 people there, which are enough witnesses to say that it's verified. No court in the world would turn down the testimony of all those people. Jesus is talking to them, and he's telling them what they need to know. In Acts 1:11, he said, you know, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you again. And while he was talking, a cloud came down and picked him up, and the people saw him ascending up into heaven. And while they stood there looking, trying to figure out what was happening, in Acts chapter 1 of verse 11, two angels came and spoke to them and said, Men of Galilee, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. This was said to comfort his followers. What a tremendous promise. Here's a description of the most wonderful event this world has ever known, the ascension and promised return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want you to know it can't be long. Things are shaping up right now where it will not be long, and I would not take a chance myself of not walking with the Lord. So, like I said, if something drastic happens, like that wreck I was in, you don't have to say, oh, please, God, save me, because you know you're already saved. What comfort. Here is a consolation for Christians. The most wonderful thing about heaven is that Jesus is there. How comforting for Christians to think of the great reunion that's waiting for us. I used to plan with my grandma, as I said, about meeting in heaven. How comforting to know that that day will eventually come. This is a source of ceaseless alarm to the sinner, because if heaven exists, so does hell. Then the second thing, heaven opened to commission Peter. In Acts 10:11, it says, he saw the sky open and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. The sky above opened before Peter and he saw this vision. This particular vision was suggested by Peter's hunger. He was very hungry up there. However, it was designed to teach him an important lesson in regard to the introduction of all nations to the gospel. God was throwing the door wide open for everyone, not just the Jews, but every one of us. Peter was staying in the home of Simon the Tanner. He was resting and thought he was starving on the roof waiting for dinner when this vision took place. At the same time, he was seeing this vision of these things coming down the sheet, God saying, get up, take and eat, Peter. Peter said, I couldn't do it because I've never touched anything unclean. God says, whatever I have cleansed, do not call unclean. And this happened three times. Well, as showing that the Gentiles were now welcome. While this time he was seeing this vision, Gentiles showed up to ask him to come to Cornelius' house and teach them to be Christians. See, God threw open the door for all Gentiles, which means that you and I are welcome to come accept Christ as our Savior too. By the way, I might have given a wrong reference when I was talking about Jesus ascending into heaven. It was Acts chapter 1, verse 11. I might have said Acts 11, but it was 1:11. Read it. The third thing that heaven opened to comfort Stephen, Acts chapter 7, verse 56 says, and he told them, look, I see heavens open, the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. If you remember, Stephen was being martyred. Stephen had been arrested because of his faith, and Stephen gave them a history of the world, how God had worked with him, all the prophets that God had sent, all the opportunities for the Jewish people to repent. And they had all gotten mad. It says they bit him, they cast him in the pit, they were going to stone him to death. And while in the process of being stoned, Jesus was on hand when Stephen needed him most. What a tremendous thing. No matter what you face, if Jesus is there, you can get through it. I want you to know the day that I got beat up when I was at Deer Valley Church, the Nazarene, a man came into my office. He had misunderstood some things that happened at a board meeting. He was upset about it, and he began to slug me and beat me and kick me. And the Lord kept saying, don't hit him back, because it'll just look like two fools fighting with each other. And so I got away from him, got out. But the whole time the beating was, I didn't feel a thing. God protected me. And I believe that's what God does, gives us strength and help when we go through these times. Notice Acts 7, 59 and 60, it says about Stephen, as they stoned him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he fell to his knees shouting, Lord, don't charge them with this sin. And with that, he died. As he died, Stephen prayed the same prayer of forgiveness for his enemies that Christ did and went to the Father when he died on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, heaven's going to open one of these days for the church. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 says, then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven. The same voice I had heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast. The voice said, come up here, and I will show you what must happen after this. John had been on this barren island of Patmos. He had been exiled there. People say, well, he was the only disciple that wasn't martyred. It wasn't because they hadn't tried. He'd been tortured. He'd been thrown in a vat of boiling oil. And when they dumped the oil out there, he was deep fried, but he didn't die because God wasn't done with him yet. Jesus told him to write to the seven churches of Asia Minor. And as he wrote it, the order corresponds with the periods of church history that we've gone through since then. Its first church was Ephesus, which represented the apostolic church from AD 30 to 100. And then Smyrna, the letter there represents the persecuted church from AD 100 to 313. The third letter was to Pergamos, which represents the state church from AD 313 to 590. The fourth letter was Thyatira. That represents the papal church or the Catholic church that took over from AD 590 to 1517. Sardis represents the Reformed church from AD 1517 to 1790. That's what we would call the Dark Ages and stuff. Philadelphia represents the missionary church from AD 1730 to 1900. Laodicea represents the apostate church from AD 1900 until just very short in the future here, because that's the period of time we're in now. We are living in the time of the church of Laodicea. The last church age is going to be before Jesus Christ comes in the rapture to take his people home. John represented all New Testament Christians, and at the end of the Laodicea age there, he is told to come up to heaven, and that seems to correspond, like I said, with the rapture. The most wonderful thing about heaven is that Jesus is there. He's prepared a home for us, and we will live with him for all eternity. Number five, heaven will open at the end of the age. Revelation 19:11 says, then I saw heaven opened. A white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. The final time in heaven will be after the great tribulation. The final time that heaven will open will be when at the age of tribulation, or when after the 7 years of tribulation, when Jesus Christ comes to back to earth at the second coming. I'm sorry I'm muttering so much, but I just felt a little weird today. the battle of Armageddon is going to happen after Antichrist has his 7 years of what he thinks is going to be his vengeance, and then God says enough. He brings his armies, which would include you and me if we know Christ as our personal Savior. If we died knowing Christ, or if we went out in the rapture, God is going to bring us back. And at that point, Antichrist, a false prophet, will be thrown into the lake of fire. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. Christ will be set up his millennial reign for that 1,000 years, so the earth can be run like God intended for it to be at first. And then at the end of the millennium will be the second resurrection, when the great white throne judgment comes, and all those who did not know Jesus when they died will have to stand before the throne and be judged. But I want you to know, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that judgment's not for you. We who serve Christ will go into the new heaven and all for all eternity. And I will get into this a lot deeper as time goes on. I want to explain these things better to you. But I want you to know this, just like the song says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. All trials will seem so small when we see Christ. And that's what we want to do, is we want to see Jesus. Father, I pray that you help each one of us to come to a point where we know you as our personal Savior, where we have the assurance of our sins forgiven, and know that, Lord, you're going to take us home to be with you for all eternity. If somebody out there hasn't repented, hasn't accepted you, let this be the day they find the life that Jesus Christ has for them that will last for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I am not going to be preaching at the Baptist Church tomorrow, nor for the next 2 weeks while I recover, and then I believe I will be back. But I would ask you, please, you know, to pray for me, pray for the church, pray for each other as Christians. And if you need to get a hold of me, it's box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. And if you want to call, it's 623-845-2741. And that will also give you a place where you can text. God bless you. I love you. Hope this is a blessing to you.